From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, October 1st. Coming up, a suburb west of Chicago has an effort called the People's Patrol. It organizes scores of volunteers to confront immigration agents carrying out President Trump's deportation blitz. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Illinois Department of Public Health has issued separate recommendations on COVID-19 vaccines that run counter to new federal guidelines. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now recommends COVID-19 shots only for people age 65 and up, or those with underlying health conditions. Dr. Samir Vora leads the IDPH. Speaking on the 21st show, he says that change goes against best practices.
The lack of going by this gold standard process has led to a lack of credibility, transparency, and trust in what was deemed to be such a pivotal, important, science-based practice.
Vora says the IDPH recommends COVID shots for all adults, pregnant and postpartum women, children aged 6 months to 2 years, and certain kids over the age of two. He says the guidelines are informed by leading experts. The guidelines also state that any parent who wants their child to have the shot should be able to get one. Soybean producers across the country are getting ready to export their crop. But China, their biggest customer, hasn't placed a single order for the upcoming market year. Where does that put America's farmers? Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports.
China buys over half of all exported American soybeans. Its absence has sent soybean farmers scrambling for options for the beans they just can't sell. One option is storing the beans until spring, which farmers like Kayla Rosenoff from North Dakota say carries its own set of issues.
I've talked to many neighbors now, and they've said, you know, if our bins get filled up with beans and corn, we can't store both of them.
Instead, producers could sell to local crushers, which process the beans into oil and meal to then sell to other countries directly. But Rosenoff says it's a band-aid to a problem where the only cure might be a deal with China. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins says the agency will restart international food aid, but under new branding and an America First focus. Earlier this year, the Trump administration gutted USAID, the agency that purchased and distributed American farm commodities overseas. It fired all of the staff. Now, Rollins says restarting the program will help use up a mounting glut of excess farm commodities.
It is a signal of the government and our purchasing power and the importance of ensuring we're moving our row crops out across the world.
Rollins says the program will buy more than 400,000 metric tons of corn, wheat, and other grains immediately. That's important because farmers will face a huge glut of unsold farm commodities after harvest this fall. Rollins did not say how USDA would rebuild the globe-spanning operation to distribute that food. The Trump administration is ending a survey that tracks food access across the country. As Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports, anti-hunger advocates say less information means it will be difficult to know what is working to address food insecurity.
Federal officials are scrapping the household food security reports, saying they are, quote, redundant, costly, politicized, and extraneous studies. Gina Platanino with the National Food Advocacy Group Food Research and Action Center says the survey is the main source for understanding how people are experiencing food insecurity across the country.
It's difficult for advocates, for policymakers to understand or to be able to say what is working if you don't have the data to support whatever point or analysis you wanted to make.
She says the cancellation is even more concerning on top of the administration's recent cuts to federal food benefits. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. Still to come, an effort in a west suburb of Chicago organizes scores of volunteers to confront immigration agents. That story is coming up next on 2 and 7 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 86 degrees and an east wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 56 degrees, an east wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 88 degrees, a southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 58 degrees, a southeast wind 5 miles per hour. And for Friday, sunny with a high of 89 degrees and a south wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st show, with the federal government going into shutdown mode, President Trump is warning of more layoffs and program cuts. We'll talk with Illinois Congressman Sean Casten about how we got here and what it could mean for Illinois. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The U.S. Homeland Security Department says it has arrested more than 500 people in Illinois as part of a Trump administration deportation blitz. To counter fear and anxiety among immigrants, supporters have organized rapid response networks. The idea is to track down immigration agents, then monitor and protest their activity. A group in a suburb west of Chicago coordinates a rapid response network called the People's Patrol. WBEZ's Chip Mitchell spent a day on patrol with the group's leader.
It's mid-morning in Wheaton, 25 miles west of downtown Chicago. Cristobal Cavazos opens his car's hatch and packs in bullhorns, 5-gallon buckets, and drumsticks to pound on him. He invites me to climb in, and right away he gets a call. It's a People's Patrol volunteer. She's at an industrial park in Bensonville, a half hour away. There's a lot of manufacturing and food processing there because it's near O'Hare, the airport. This volunteer tells Cristobal there are also a lot of feds today, maybe from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the agency known as ICE.
There's been a hotbed of ICE activity there since Trump came in. And we've actually seen ICE go into a factory about a month and a half ago looking for someone, and they freaked out the whole factory and they took some people there. So we're headed there, and it's just really sad the way the United States crucifies their workers. Particularly in this case, they're essential workers that are in these factories giving us food.
Cristobal heads the Casa DuPage Workers Center, a nonprofit focused on immigrant rights. It runs the People's Patrol, an effort to locate ICE activity, record it, document any abuses, and voice community opposition right on the spot.
We have 180 people, all volunteers, trainings every other Friday.
As they go about their daily lives, they all keep an eye out for ICE activity. The ICE officers drive unmarked vehicles, but People's Patrol volunteers will sometimes tail them. If the agents stop anyone or converge on a house or workplace, volunteers get the word out through a Facebook page and text groups.
We'll send people to go check it out. We want to go in and show the community, hey, we got your back. We're in the midst of a historic fight back right now against ICE.
Cristobal clenches his fist. I make sure the other hand stays on the wheel.
We're not going to leave any space to ICE. The People's Patrol is there to fill these spaces of terror and fear with solidarity and strength.
We get to Bensonville, and it turns out to be just a press conference about some illegal imports, no immigration sweep. Now, though, Cristobal is getting word about ICE arrests out in Elgin.
So we're going to head over. We're going to grab our car.
We get back on an expressway. I'm getting a sense of the mileage Cristobal racks up each day to show his community's opposition to President Trump's deportation blitz. I ask how he got into this work. He talks about his parents. His mom came from South Texas. His dad, Northern Mexico. Migrant farm workers.
They would drive all over. They would go to Nebraska. They would go to Indiana. They would go to Michigan for the apples. Potato picking in Idaho. And they started to pick cotton. Keep in mind, these were Mexican workers traveling in the South during Jim Crow and Juan Crow, being asked to sit in the back of restaurants and my father as well, you know, he would tell us stories about when they would go to Mexico, they would come back and they would spray them with some kind of a chemical spray to supposedly get all the germs off of Mexican workers.
Sprayed down with DDT, a pesticide later banned for killing too much wildlife. Eventually, Cristobal's parents heard about jobs in the Chicago area. They settled in DuPage County. Cristobal was born in Winfield. Throughout his childhood, he heard what his parents had gone through, but also about freedom fighters like farm worker organizer Cesar Chavez and Mexican revolutionary Emiliano Zapata.
Zapata once said, "I would rather spend one day standing up than 1,000 years on my knees."
So Cristobal gets in his car day after day to stand up to Trump's immigration enforcement.
Ya estamos en dos minutos.
We finally reach Elgin. Some People's Patrol volunteers there tell Cristobal the day's immigration arrests seem to be over with. But now there's a call about a Homeland Security SUV outside a hotel 20 minutes away.
Parked at the Marriott in Bloomingdale. So that's where we were headed over there.
When we pull up, the SUV is still there. So are some People's Patrol volunteers. I follow them to the front desk.
This is my general manager.
Hey, how y'all doing?
The hotel manager tells Cristobal that Homeland Security officers are frequent guests there. He tells her that's wrong.
The fact that they're staying here, using your premises, you know, to launch their war of terror on the immigrant communities we see, you know, that goes against our values. I would invite you to just tell them to leave, you know.
Cristobal's request to the hotel manager that she kick out the Homeland Security officers, it seemed like a long shot, so he starts working his phone to get more of his people there. By sundown, 24 protesters are in front of the hotel with a petition to kick the officers out. A few days later, I find Cristobal at a different protest. I ask him to sit down for a minute.
So, Cristobal, you've been fighting for immigrant workers for more than 2 decades. Now there's a backlash and this crackdown on undocumented workers. How do you feel?
You know, we had a protest a couple weeks ago, and we had one guy literally come up and spewing racial epithets and screaming at us.
Then an immigration officer in West Suburban Franklin Park fatally shot a Mexican man during a traffic stop.
You feel this almost like this emptiness. And you look at your community and people that you love are afraid. It's a dark night of the soul. People on social media, they don't like what we're doing and they think that we're too out there. We're putting people in danger by being community organizers.
You're hearing this from some immigrants.
Yeah. When you feel the government attacking you, you just feel that you're somehow not an essential, valuable part of the community, that you should be gone because of the color of your skin or the fact that you were not born in the United States. There's people that don't have courage right now.
Cristobal admits sometimes he doesn't have courage. He sometimes questions his role in the immigrant movement.
I mean, here we have a Mexican-American born in Winfield. You know, most of our base is, you know, from Mexico, you know. I have relatives that don't support what I do, conservative relatives that are evangelical Christians that just think, you know, that Trump is somehow part of the Armageddon and, you know, the end of the world.
That it's all inevitable. So I ask him how he keeps going.
Every morning I give thanks to God. I give thanks for my family. I give thanks for my organization, Casa DuPage. I give thanks for the beautiful allies, you know, that the past few months, more and more people have been coming out of the shadows to say, how can we help?
Well, how can they help?
Sometimes the only thing we have is resistance, and particularly this moment, we don't know where this is going to end. But you have faith in justice. You have faith in principle. You have faith.
Cristobal Cavazos says his faith will guide him when he's back out on patrol tomorrow and the day after. Chip Mitchell, WBEZ News.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Christine Herman, Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Frank Morris, Anna Pope, and Chip Mitchell. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.